This episode of the Gospel Coalition podcast is sponsored by The Gospel Project, a chronological, Christ-centered Bible study that shows kids, students, and adults how all Scripture testifies to Jesus Christ. Learn more at gospelproject.com.
This is the Gospel Coalition podcast, where we seek to renew the contemporary church in the ancient gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Colin Hansen.
Today's podcast is a roundtable discussion with Rosaria Butterfield, Jackie Hill Perry, and Sam Alberry on the beauty of complementarity.
So this issue of complementarity, a lot of people think it's just an awful, ugly, horrible thing. How do we show the beauty and the goodness of it?
Yeah, what I've tried to do, I think, in conversations with people, even in my own process into, you know, embracing complementarianism when I came from a background where women are strong and submission mm-hmm. is perceived as weakness. I think as a believer, seeing Christ in complementarianism gives me joy about complementarianism. It's not that God has called me to submit to a man because I'm just this weak-willed, brittle-backed woman, but rather it's a way for me to mimic God. It's a way for me to live a life of service to my husband, live a life of service to my church, live a life of service to my daughter. Like, submission is a good thing because even Christ did it. He's God, and he submitted to the Father. So how can then I say, oh, I'm above that? I think seeing Jesus in complementarianism has caused me to not see its ugliness, but rather to see the benefits and the spiritual fruits that come from it.
Yeah, in 1 Corinthians 11, he's an example of both being a head and having a head, isn't he? Which means he's an example for men, he's an example for women, he's an example for leading, he's an example for following and submitting, which is wonderful.
This is such an important question. I mean, it is such a rich question, and it's really one I've struggled with. You know, I can't really talk about this question without, you know, you could just sort of picture me just kicking against the wall of it because, it did not rest easily on me. I think like Jackie, I was raised to be a feminist. When people would say to my mom, oh, what a pretty little girl, is she going to marry a doctor? My mother would get just outraged and say, she's going to be a doctor. She's not going to marry a doctor. So from my earliest beginnings, the idea that women were powerful and strong, and I didn't want to give that up. And then I realized that actually complementarity does not ask me to give that up. But the first thing I had to really think about for me, I mean, this is just my journey, I had to think about whether submission is whether it creates an abuse culture. Because I came from a feminist tradition that said that. And now as a Christian, I had to think about, well, is a woman's, a wife's submission to her husband, is that a sin? You know, I mean, I really had to think about it. And one of the things that I did was I went back to Genesis. It's amazing how many things take us back to Genesis. And I thought, well, you know what? If Adam's headship came after the fall, then we've got a problem. And that I can continue on with my position that complementarity is dangerous. But if submission came before the fall, then it's a good thing. God said everything was good. And so there it is. Eve's submission to Adam evidently is before the fall, in part because his sin was a sin. His federal headship covered not just Eve, but all of us. And so I really had to stop and think about something. And one of the things I thought about is a theory of aesthetics that's been very important to me, important in my work as a professor, just in my work as a person. And this is the theory that what is true determines what is beautiful and ethical. And that stopped me in my tracks, because if what is true is that a wife's submission to her husband is God's good gift, then I needed to see beauty, and I needed to see an aesthetic wisdom that came from that. And that's, for me, the way this conversation rolled. Now, you know, praise God, as you said before, that everything you know, everything that God does is right, but it's also providentially right. It is not arbitrary. And so I'm grateful that my life experience could bear out that I am more effective, I am more strong in my submission to my husband than I ever could have been kicking against the law of God. Although kick I did, and hard it was.
If you abstract the framework of submission and leadership out of the gospel, out of the example of Christ, it is ugly. Because I think fallen minds can't be trusted with those kinds of concepts. But it is because we see this in the life of Christ himself, we are able to see it in a beautiful, wholesome, healthy way that it actually we're using these things to bless the other person.
That's right.
You know, that the husband is loving his wife as Christ loved the church. And I think it's uniquely beautiful within a gospel-shaped context. I don't think it can be beautiful apart from that. I think when the world tries to do it, it becomes denigrating or abusive, and it, you know, you get the ugly side of it.
And if I could add to that, part of why it's really beautiful in a gospel context is that in a gospel context, we are members of a church. Because gospel-driven people can be abusive. They can fall in their sin. But if you are a wife and you are in a godly marriage, but your husband is sinning grievously against you, your check and balance is your membership in a church. Because your pastor and your elders are there for you to help you both. And in the world, you just don't have that. You don't have God's appointed shepherd looking out for you, dear wife, trying to do the good thing.
Yeah.
I feel as if, and just the conversations I have, the Twitter rants I see, it seems as if, I think culture and media has influenced people's view of what submission and headship really is. I don't think people have taken the time to really dig into the scriptures and allow the scriptures to define it, because it's talked about when I've had conversations with people, the way they define submission is like being a maid, or the way they define headship is dominance. It's like that's not in the Bible. That's how you're perceiving it. And so I think if you see that, like, man, true biblical headship is servant leadership as God leads and serves us. And true biblical submission is a willing, glad submission to someone. It's not that I'm not my husband's maid. I'm his helper. And because I love him, I am more than willing to help him. Even the Holy Spirit helps us. It's we're not to, like, the Trinity itself is the same thing that God is calling us to be, an image bearer of himself, Trinitarian being. So, I mean, I think it would be valuable for those who see the perceived ugliness to define, is the ugliness I see being defined by culture or scripture? And have those conversations.
I think it's helpful too to kind of widen the angle a bit. We've talked a bit about leadership and submission. There's more to gender complementarity than that. And Keller has said at some point, it's, we can affirm that each gender has a unique and non-interchangeable glory that the other does not. Actually, this framework allows us to celebrate our differences as well as our commonalities, and to see those things shine and be beautiful and actually be of mutual blessing.
As single people and as married people, because Genesis 1:26 says clearly that there are ethical and moral responsibilities to being born male and female. And that is shocking news in our world. And it's good news. It's helpful news. It's a balm of quiet in a world of racket and anger.
But we can't bless each other unless we're different.
That's
the wonderful way God has wired us all up to be. Great, thank you.
You've been listening to the Gospel Coalition podcast. For more gospel-centered resources, visit thegospelcoalition.org.